And welcome to The Deuce. I'm Bradley.
And I'm Jeremy.
And you are listening to episode number 9. We're almost there to the double digits, episode 9.
I know. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, really?
I wasn't, like, denying it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Today's episode is we are going to drop the deuce on the second Ghost Rider movie.
Which the director's the second Ghost Rider movie, Ghost Rider, The Spirit of Vengeance.
Right. And just a little background. Can I give you the background first?
Yeah. Why don't you go and get started?
Ghost Rider is a show about kids in Brooklyn who befriend a ghost-like character that can write to them in text.
Yeah.
And then they solve, like, crimes in their neighborhood with the help of this ghost. And they have, like, a club where they have pins, and they're the Ghost Rider thing. Is that not right?
No, that's all absolutely wrong.
Oh,
ghost,
shit.
Not Ghost Writer.
Oh, what
ghost
was I thinking?
Ghost Rider.
Oh, Ghost Rider. Oh, you mean the movie we just watched?
Yeah, like, yeah, that
oh,
one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, yeah. I was thinking of the wonderful PBS show, Ghost Rider. At the time, the fifth biggest children's show on PBS. Anyway,
so go ahead.
Give
us
some background on
it's
some
like
you're the what?
Your extensive knowledge of PBS children's television shows.
Yes, Polka Dot Door and Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. Go ahead. We digress. You're the comic book geek or nerd or whatever you want to call yourself.
Sure. Sure. All
give
those,
me, give
all
me
those
some
hurtful
Ghost
things.
Rider.
No, just
it's not about a bunch of kids from Brooklyn?
No.
Okay,
not this one. Not this one. But why don't we start off? Where can we see this? If we
oh,
wanted
I'm
to watch
sorry.
It?
Yes, you can stream it actually for free at the FX. If you're subscribed to FX Now, their app, you can get that Spirit of Vengeance for free. You can rent it for $2.99 on pretty much all the streaming services, or you can buy it for $9.99, or if you think that's too much, get it for Fandango for $8.99.
Oh,
Fandango.
Fandango.
So, go ahead.
All right, so let's start dropping
let's
the deuce.
Drop the deuce, not on the television show, but the movie.
okay, so... Ghost Rider is a Ghost Rider was a under the Marvel Knights property. So just for those of you who aren't familiar with this, Marvel Knights was a branch of the Marvel Comics where it was a little bit darker subject. Usually there's a little bit more violence and maybe some more language. It was actually more of like your, I think where your anti-hero stuff was a lot.
Oh,
it's like
okay.
Punisher or like...
Punisher?
Or Blade.
Okay.
Were all like Marvel Knights comics.
Oh, Blade is Marvel too? Marvel Knights?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I'm not familiar with Ghost Rider at all. I've never seen the first movie. I've never read a Ghost Rider comic book. After this movie, I don't really want to. I mean, I probably will.
The comic is, I will say, the comic... It's better. It has a greater history. I like the character a lot more. Especially, to me, Ghost Rider was always one of those characters where, you know, sometimes people write them really well or write them really, really wrong. And it was a character where a lot of times I think got kind of thrown off to the side.
Ghost Rider?
Yeah. And that people did not write very well. But every once in a while, there would be just like a great story arc. That did just really cool things with the characters.
Okay.
And so if you can get some of the really good story arcs in there, by all means, I would say
right.
Check it out.
And so my analyzation of this movie is going to be kind of in the dark because I don't know much about Ghost Rider. So I do apologize for those people that do know Ghost Rider. Perhaps that will be entertaining. Trust me, it probably will be. But yeah. Ghost Rider's name is Johnny Blaze, right? I know that because
starting the movie.
Okay, let's start the movie.
Yeah, let's start the beginning of the movie.
Fine. If you like that, fine.
Okay,
it's
so
a vengeance of myself.
I'll show you my spirit of vengeance. So we open with Moreau, who is played by Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm. Stringer Bell.
Stringer Bell, yes.
From Not the Shield.
From Not the Shield. I apologize like for that.
The Wire.
He goes, he made a comment about it, and I was like, oh, The Shield. And he goes, The Shield? No, I mean, The Wire?
Well, we did do Silver Surfer, and What's-His-Face was in The Shield. Maybe you were thinking of a week back.
Yes, yeah. That's yep, exactly yep. why. I yeah. totally didn't get those confused with my own yeah. ignorance. It was because yeah. of that.
One set in Baltimore, the other one's set in Los Angeles. But yeah, go ahead.
Totes. Okay, so so Moreau shows up to this secret sect of like monk priest, whatever.
Right.
They look like Catholic priests or like archbishops.
Yeah. Cardinals.
Yeah. Just like wearing their, you know, robe stuff, and walking through like server rooms and like weapon.
Yeah,
weapon
these
storage.
Are pretty like these monks are pretty high tech.
Yeah, they're pretty armed to the teeth.
Yeah,
and all we can kind of get the sense of so far is that we're somewhere in Europe.
That's probably the real Catholic, you know, behind the scenes, like scandal.
Yeah, that's totally
is
what
the
it
technology
is.
That's
oh, yeah,
going on.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
and so we're somewhere in Europe at this point. And we come into 5 points, if anybody can remember his name. The guy who he was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Anthony Head.
Is that what his name is?
His last name's Head, I thought.
Okay. And he was in Rebo the Genetic Opera.
Rebo the Genetic Opera.
Which check
Am
it
I
out
right
if you
on
haven't.
Anthony Head? It's not Murray Head. They sing One Night in Bangkok.
Murray Hill?
Murray Head.
Oh.
Anyway.
So. They are saying that they're keeping this boy who they want to keep safe until after the this ritual has passed, or the time for this ritual has passed.
Yeah.
You know, and Moreau is saying, okay, well, you know, we want to make sure he's safe. So we don't know anything about it just yet. But as they're talking, mercenaries show up and start taking out the order of monk priests.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's a typical day.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, they're armed for this kind of thing, yeah. So they seem like they're pretty yeah. well prepared. So
they should have been prepared with all the technology that they had.
So we see Johnny Whitworth, I think it's his name, Whitworth, who plays Ray Kerrigan.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
come
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
He's leading the Mercs.
Kerrigan, right?
Yeah.
Kerrigan.
So,
I got he looked like John Bon Jovi. To me. So I call them Bon Bon Jovi.
Oh, Bon Bon.
Like Jovi. He looked like a little heavier Bon Jovi, or like if Kurt Russell and Bon Jovi had like a kid.
Kind yeah, of, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The they show up. Moreau starts chasing after a woman who we learn is Nadia. Along with her son Danny to try to save them,
mm-hmm.
He takes out some mercs, but she still fires at him because she's just, I guess, at that point, just trying to survive. So she's willing to take out whoever's in her way.
Right, you know.
Kerrigan shows up and is talking to the priest, asks where Nadia and Danny have gone, and right then, of course, they just fly out of the garage and take off. So Kerrigan shoots a priest, so we know he's the badass, bad guy that we need to watch
out
for.
Oh, yeah.
So the Moreau, so he starts chasing them on his motorcycle, and then he's fighting other cars the whole way while he's chasing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, he's thrown from his bike, and so we see him in slow motion. Like turning and shooting in midair as he's flying like over the edge of this bridge, like into the crevasse below.
Oh, well, you know, we watched Mission Impossible 2. They did the same thing in that.
Yeah, don't remind me. The but and even from this point, we've seen a lot of like weird like slow mo to fast motion kind of like jerking
that's
effects.
Very
it's
weird.
Very like. So the guys who produced this and directed it were the same guys who did
ADHD.
Yeah,
the movie.
ADHD the movie. You know, was it Cranked?
Crank High
crank
Voltage.
And Crank
High
Voltage. High Voltage. And there was what was the other thing they did? Oh,
Crank. I don't know.
It'll come back to me.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Bunch of crap.
Yeah. And so it's just a lot of things like that where, you know, just fast pace and, like, it's action, action, action. Don't worry about how, you know, it comes out. Just action.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a lot of these moments where all this is happening.
Yeah.
So then we get into our first installment of exposition dialogue theater.
Right.
So all of a sudden we get this cartoon in the middle.
Well, it's like the opening credits, right?
Kind of, but it's not like it's, you don't have that many opening credits. It's not the only time this happens.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But we get this reintroduction to Johnny Blaze. So cue Nick Cage doing a voiceover, introducing himself as Johnny Blaze. He's basically talking about how he's a stuntman and how he had sold his soul to save his dad's life. For those of you who may have seen the first one, the details have changed slightly between the movies.
Okay.
But basically it's the same story.
Okay. And I don't know anything about Ghost Rider. So like this was a little bit helpful for me because I didn't know. I also put Johnny Blaze. If that is your Christian name, you're not going to grow up to be a librarian. There's no way.
No, there's no way he should.
You're either going to be a pot dealer or a stuntman.
Those are probably very accurate.
Or a afternoon DJ on a radio station.
That would be a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Johnny Blaze here.
So we see him making a deal with the devil, except this time it's played by Syrian Hines.
Can I go back to the cartoon thing? When I saw the cartoon thing, I said, this better not be like a Tank Girl thing, where they kind of start doing a bunch of animation thing.
Yeah.
So I was hoping maybe this was just the beginning of the movie. Oh, I was wrong.
I know what it was. The guys who directed this also wrote Jonah Hex.
Oh, yeah, Jonah Hex.
You're welcome.
Good company of crap.
So they have a good track record. So we see him making the deal with the devil, who's played by Syrian Hines. And now they call him Rourke instead of the devil or whatever. But formerly, I believe it was played by Peter Fonda.
Okay.
In the first one.
In the first movie?
Yeah.
And it's played by who?
Syrian Hines.
Okay.
He's a British actor in this one.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so they changed him up. He talks about, as they're going through the exposition, he's been able to keep the spirit of vengeance at bay. So he has basically been struggling with that and been trying to keep to himself because the spirit now eats souls, apparently, as opposed to just doing like the penance stare from the previous film. Now he eats souls, so he's trying to keep it away from people because it doesn't matter if you just illegally downloaded something or if you jaywalked and all that kind of crap. So it'll come for you.
Oh, okay.
So
or if you watched Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance, it will come for you.
Well, and they made this little comment about, like, even if you've illegally downloaded, which I think was kind of a don't download this movie kind of thing.
I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I roll with that.
This is really uncomfortable. Not that we did download it. We didn't.
Yeah.
And don't do that. Yeah, if you're listening, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Not that we did.
No.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. At this point, he's saying he's run halfway across the world to try to escape his demon, which, you know, is always tethered to him.
Right.
So anyway, Moreau finds Johnny. So he's trying to bring out the writer because he wants to make a deal to rescue the boy. In exchange, they're offering to lift his curse.
Right.
And we also, in case you're wondering how Moreau is here, if he flew off that bridge, God intervened, according to him, and we have this weird little cutscene of him hanging upside down from a tree.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
That's what that was?
Yeah, it was him. That was him being
saved. I thought that
was
ridiculous.
Yeah, it was weird.
Just a cut.
Like,
it was
what?
Very weird and very odd. We did not need that.
No, we didn't.
No. For the Church of Masters will lift your curse. They will not give you plot to this movie, but they will lift your curse.
That would take a miracle of epic proportions.
Take an act of miracle.
There's only so much power for that. So anyway, we cut back to Nadia in a restaurant or some sort of a cafe.
Yeah.
And she's flirting with a man who, of course, is like trying to get his wedding ring off real quick. So they're talking. She kind of flirts with him. He then asks if she's a gypsy and then starts to proposition her, saying he's a very rich man and he'll pay her well. And her son, Danny, shows up and is like, when's daddy coming back? And, of course, that makes the guy take off running as fast as he can. And Danny lifts his wallet.
Yeah, what a devil child.
So they so then they take off. So that's basically how they're living, just trying to survive, you know, stealing what they have to steal or doing what they have to get as far away
they're
as they can.
They're vagabonds, right?
Yeah. Well, just to, you know, they have to stay off the radar and get as far away from, you know, the people who are coming after them as they can. In the meantime, Nadia and Danny start getting attacked on the road. They take off. They start getting attacked on the road. And all of a sudden, Johnny kind of feels it. He's summoning the rider, which is really just an excuse to have a...
No, you forgot the main point of this whole scene. They were listening to Kaja Gugu, Too Shy.
They were.
Too shy to shy. I wrote that down like that. That was important.
I know.
Like, that was exposition.
It was very odd to me because it doesn't fit with... It doesn't most fit of the with music, anything else. Most of the music in this...
Maybe NXS Devil Inside would have been better.
Yeah.
That would have been more meta. I would have...
Most of this is very like
call
generic
me up, guys,
rock, where it's
movie.
Like bump bump, be 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 be, bump bump. Like it's just
and
like
then you got too shy to shy.
Yeah, so you're like, I know words. Yeah, so, so they're getting attacked. Nick Cage starts having a Nick Cage style freak out. And
you mean Nick Cage?
Yes, he just is. I think they just left the camera on.
They didn't tell
away.
Him.
No, he's just sitting
he's
there going.
He's hung over from the night before.
Yeah, and so they're just drawing.
Wake up in the hospital.
We'll just put the graphics on afterwards. so you don't actually see Ghost Rider. All you see is like some flare up and some fire, and
that's how I get hemorrhoids too.
The bike flaring up and then
you just described hemorrhoids.
The flare up. Yeah, and then his. Ass is no. See, then
he gets some preparation H.
Yeah, so he drives away. So all he sees is the flames driving away. So now Kerrigan catches up with Nadia.
Nine episodes. I don't think I would ever said preparation H. I don't think I would ever, like, I don't know. Keep going. I don't know. That's funny.
What?
I just didn't think I would be saying preparation H after like 9 episodes.
Did you think
maybe
you
after
say,
10?
Did you think
not.
You would say Tux medicated pads?
Go ahead.
So, okay. So obviously they kind of allude to the fact that Kerrigan has history with Nadia.
With Nadia, yeah.
And so she's like, please, you know, don't kill him. It's my son. And he goes, he's not my son. And so, obviously, that's a pain point between them. So, he's getting ready to kill the kid, or Nadia. And all of a sudden, he's interrupted because the Ghost Rider appears.
Yes, Ghost Rider.
So, this is the first time we've seen the Ghost Rider in this one.
Yes.
And they've changed him a little bit from the previous one. So, the shapes and stuff are different.
Really?
Yeah, and I like a lot of the effects better in this one. So like his jacket is kind of bubbling where it looks like it's constantly like burning or like like tar.
That wasn't like that before?
No.
Okay.
Before
that's pretty
normal.
Cool, then,
yeah.
If they
so
did that.
It actually I think it looks a lot better in this one. My one beef with it is now the flames have a lot of like black smoke that just rolls off it constantly and it makes it tough to see it sometimes.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So
I tell you what, I didn't like the effect on the wheels, the bike itself and the wheels.
Yeah.
I didn't like that effect. But it did. I'll give you that. But there was one point where the skull of Ghost Rider looked almost too big, and it looked like almost an alien skull. Like at the beginning, this is the only time that it did that, and I was like, "That's weird."
I thought they. I can't remember if they enlarged or made the skull smaller in this one.
Yeah,
they changed the shape of the skull.
Okay, because it looked kind of weird there for a moment, but then it pulled back. Like I thought it went,
Yeah.
But it looked too big at one time.
I think this time what they did was they actually...
It could have been Nicolas Cage's ego, too.
They actually made it look like the costume fit him better.
Okay.
I think in the last one, if I remember right, it was obviously like somebody wearing the clothes, and they edited the stuff in over it, and so it was... it didn't fit right.
Oh.
So the jacket looked big and like boxy. And you had, like, the skeleton part underneath. Like, it just did not quite look
okay.
Like it
was
should've.
David Byrne the stuntman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my big beef with the effect. Is just there's a little too much, like, black smoke that kind of...
Yeah.
They love to get it in the camera to kind of obscure what you're seeing. But I thought the effect...
In the first one or this one?
This one.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought the effect was great otherwise.
Okay.
Maybe not the bike. I think the bike was... I think the bike was actually better in the first movie.
Okay.
But I think Ghost Rider looks better in this
one.
Okay,
I'll give you that. I mean, I don't know, so I'm going to take your word for it.
But don't take my word for it.
So, basically, they all open fire on Ghost Rider, and... he grabs one of them with his Hellfire chain, just whips it around him, and spins him around, and the guy starts on fire and just kind of disintegrates.
And he has that chain. I mean, that's like a character trait from the comic book, right? The whole chain.
Yeah, his Hellfire
chain. At this point, I said Jeff from The Late Show with Craig Ferguson is pissed, and he's gonna have vengeance.
God, I forgot about Jeff.
Hey guys,
I'm Jeff.
And so,
then
Ghost Rider does this weird, like, he does this like little sway back and forth, like dance thing before he attacks his next person.
Yeah,
but when he does, he just kind of like zips over to this guy. He runs over to this guy. And then I suppose is what you would say he was sucking the guy's soul out, but it just always looks like he's hissing at people to me. he opens his mouth real wide and goes, and then all of a sudden, like, the person just, like, falls down. So after he does that, the Ghost Rider tears through all the guys that are heading for Danny. They finally hit him with, like, a rocket and run.
My thing is, like, because this happens a lot in this movie where they just keep firing bullets at Ghost Rider, right?
Yeah.
And obviously they've seen him, like, take, like, a lot of bullets and nothing's working.
Yeah.
So what do? You keep shooting.
Well, you don't
just
know.
Just keep shooting.
You don't know if maybe you have to hit him in a special spot or maybe...
This isn't a video game.
You don't know. Okay. You would try anything if he's coming.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So, anyway, they run, and they hit him with a rocket and basically kidnap Danny. So, we cut to Johnny waking in a hospital, and I put acting like Nick Cage, who was just screaming and whispering everything simultaneously.
Do your scream whisper thing.
I don't do my scream.
You do that.
He's like, can I get morphine? Morphine? He's delauded. Anything. Anything. And he's just like...
Anything.
No. She's like, the police want to talk with you. No. 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 And he's just like really like freaking out.
Yeah.
Having a Nick Cage moment. But it's... You know what? Like, and that's another thing that I find myself... The first movie, Nicolas Cage was very subdued, I thought.
Okay.
And this one, he is like psychotic, like... off his meds, Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, dude, somewhere in the middle. You gotta live somewhere in the middle there, man.
So he didn't act like that in the first movie.
In the first movie, he was...
Like when he changed into Ghost Rider.
No, the Ghost Rider was not quite so crazy.
Okay.
But Nick Cage... But Johnny Blaze himself was like a sad sack the whole movie. He was just kind of like... hey, about everything. Like, he's such a bummer.
Yeah. Go big or go home.
Yeah, so, like, know? He's, well, he maybe should have gone home and calmed down a little bit. But, so anyway, so he basically runs before the police can question him, and he sees Nadi in the hospital and starts following her. We cut to Kerrigan, who is now trying to renegotiate with Rourke, a.k.a. the devil. Basically, they're talking, and he says, hey, this guy with a flaming head came after us. And all of a sudden, Rourke goes, oh, crap, that's the Ghost Rider. So Rourke has them give the phone to Danny, and he says some sort of an incantation to keep him off the Ghost Rider's radar.
I actually thought what he whispered to Danny was the plot of the movie, and that's why he passed out.
That's why he screamed, no, and passed out.
And then passed out.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It might have been. That might have been what was happening.
No! I have to be in this shit. No!
So Johnny tracks Nadia around the hospital, but she gets the jump on him, and he says, hey, he just wants to find Danny, too. So they steal a tow truck and throw Johnny's bike on it and then hit the open road. So they're talking about how everything came to be. Nadia tells Johnny that she was actually, Kerrigan was an arms dealer, and she was buying weapons or something as for some sort of like a bank robber or some sort of a robbery job or whatever. Yeah. And it went wrong. She was blown out of a window and was dying in this botched robbery. And the devil showed up and made the deal with her. And that the Danny is the devil's son.
Right.
And she says, she asked if he understood. And Johnny says, oh, no, I get it. You're the devil's baby mama.
Which, right.
Great.
Yeah,
ride.
That was great.
And so Q, Exposition Dialogue Theater.
Right.
A part two.
Here's some more cartoons.
So now we go back into another cartoon. So they're talking about, on Earth, the devil is weak. And so he basically talks about how the devil walks the Earth. We don't know why. But on Earth, he is weak. And so to carry out his work, he needs emissaries. People who he gets them to do things through the art of the deal.
Right.
So he makes these deals with people and then kind of makes them his minions.
Right. They show certain people that... who he was. Right?
Yeah, like Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer.
Which is odd.
Now, if this movie was made now, because of the art of the deal, it would be Donald Trump. They would probably show Donald Trump.
I'm sure they would have, yeah. I'm actually surprised they didn't in all of that, but...
Well, I mean, he was still kind of like the reality show kind of guy. He wasn't like this, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Let's see here, but that's what happened. So, like, Johnny is one of those. He made a deal. Nadia made a deal. So these people have made deals. Mm-hmm. And so, we cut back to Danny, who is riding in the car with Kerrigan and his men. Danny somehow manages to distract them and get them into a car accident.
Yeah, the car flips.
Yep. Danny escapes. Kerrigan, some of his guys don't get out,
right,
and the car blows up.
Mm-hmm.
But they eventually catch up with Danny, who like breaks his ankle.
Yeah, he twists it on the rock.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so you hear it snap.
Yeah,
and
I think he hit the devil's bone.
Is that
when he snapped? Yeah,
devil's bone.
Yeah, funny bone.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
that's on your arm.
That's on your leg. Yeah.
Okay. No, he breaks his arm or his leg, right?
Yeah, his ankle or whatever. So then they. So Kerrigan catches up with them, and they steal this shaggin' wagon.
Right.
They're from like, some freaky deaky Dutch weirdos.
Yeah, they're like, is that your van? No shit, Sherlock. What's this van doing there? And so I put like Scooby-Doo Eurotrash van, which is also the name of my punk ska band. You know, that's a good band name.
Scooby-Doo
Eurotrash van.
Eurotrash Scooby-Doo.
Eurotrash Scooby-Doo van. Zoinks. We stole the van.
So now they're in the van on their way. So Johnny senses they're getting closer, and delivers this, you know, expository warning to Nadia about how to stay out of the writer's way, basically saying it doesn't matter. He's going to come for you whether, you know, you're doing something bad or just minorly bad, majorly bad. He doesn't matter. It doesn't care. He's going to come after whoever is in his way.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to be careful. So they manage to track down this guy named Vasily who can help get them to Kerrigan, who deals with them all the time. And I think they're going to play good cop, crazy Nick Cage cop. And so Johnny, and so this is honestly one of my two.
This is the best line of the movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my least favorite parts of the movie.
Because it's so terrible. Oh, no, it's the worst part of the movie.
Yeah, it's one of two that I hate because I, for some reason, they felt like they needed to make. They were like, you know what? This isn't cartoonish enough yet. And so now Johnny is like, oh, it's there. I can feel it. It's scratching at the door. It's scratching at the door.
I got to let him out.
Yeah, he's like seriously having this intense freak out. And it is bizarre.
It's the bees.
Yeah, he starts yelling about bees and.
So he has a Nick Cage
call
moment.
New Orleans and and so no, but like parts of the skull from the writer
terrible.
Are showing up.
Yeah.
But it's not it's like cartoonish in the way. And I swear like it's going boink like as like parts are coming up and down. Like it's
like
got
Christopher
these,
Lloyd and
it's got
like
these card yeah.
And Who Framed
like
Roger Rabbit?
Are, yeah, it's got this very cartoonish element to it, and I was like, oh my god, make that stop.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's terrible.
Yeah, if he was like just starting to smolder, I think that would have been cool. Yeah. Or like if you'd start to see him slowly.
Manic Cage, which is also the name of my other band.
That's
my speed metal band.
Manic Cage.
Manic Cage.
Cage the Cage.
Cage. Nicholas Cage. Nicholas Cage the Elephant.
Yeah. So he starts having this super freak out. And more cartoonish transformations. And the guy is like, okay, well, here's the information you need. So Nicolas Cage is trying to get, or so Johnny's trying to get out because he can feel himself turning into the writer and he's trying to get away from all these people.
Now, in this whole transformation, I actually put, I think this is what Nicolas Cage colon looks like. I think,
Like,
that has to be what his colon looks like.
Well, before that, so he's transforming because he's in the presence of all these bad people. And so it wants to get out and deal some punishment. And so he's like, oh, no. So he's trying to get away. And, of course, he's starting to turn. And, like, as he touches somebody on his way out, and they just burst into flames and a couple other things like that. And so finally he gets to his bike, and he just takes off. So we see him doing this stupid, like, for like a solid minute or two, this like weird transformation thing while he's on his bike and the background is just blurry and it's just like making these sounds and like like his eyes are like going boink, 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 boink and like showing up and going back and like he's shooting fire out his nose. It's just very
I imagine that's what Nicolas Cage's colon looks like. I mean,
it's
just him going boom, 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 boom.
I don't know why
fiber.
I don't know why they felt the need to do that.
Yeah.
It was just too much. But he speeds away, and, he's on to something. So Kerrigan would come back to him, and he meets some arms dealers at a construction site. And he just wants a ton of ordnance. And, of course, they kind of laugh at him because he says he wants it for one person. And you can't take care of one person. You need, like, four of these giant rockets and all this other stuff. And, of course... Right about then, Nadia shows up, starts saving Danny, while at the same time the Ghost Rider shows up.
Right.
So they see him coming by. Kerrigan launches the rocket and hits him with it.
Yeah.
And so knocks the Ghost Rider off his box bike. They all celebrate.
Generic hard rock guitar.
Yeah, it's such. Yeah, it's very generic hard rock guitar. So it. Basically, the Ghost Rider just comes straight at the Mercs, kicking their asses. And so he's fighting all of them, setting them on fire. And at one point, they hit him with a grenade. And you see him kind of do this, like, From the close Nine Inch Nails closer yes, video. Yes,
that's exactly what I put. Yeah. I put Trent Reznor Nine Inch Nails spin around yeah. thing.
I oh want to fuck God, you like so a great. Ghost Rider.
Yes,
was what I put. The
did you say I want to fuck you like the Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And so he's like,
I did the same
he's
thing.
He's in air, and it's like he's spinning, and I'm thinking it's just kind of like they're oh ha, you know, he's doing this thing where. Mm. But then they cut to it where they're looking at him, and he's just slowly spinning around. And I'm like, what is happening?
Do,
and all of a sudden, he just looks at one of them.
Do, 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 do.
Exactly. So he just looks at one of them and kind of growls. And then he jumps at Kerrigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was cool. So Kerrigan, he's like right up on Kerrigan, and Kerrigan has that rocket still mm-hmm. and launches it at him point blank. So you just see Ghost Rider fly up in the air on this rocket, which I thought was a cool. And then you see this kind of like midair, like slow motion thing where the rocket comes apart for its second stage.
Yeah.
And it slams him into the ground and explodes. I was okay with that.
Yeah.
But then, so Ghost Rider gets up, goes over to this giant excavator thing they have that's there. It's one of those giant... like one giant wheel with a bunch of scoops on it, excavator.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
It turns
yeah.
it into a giant hellfire excavator. Wait, did he throw out
the bullets yet? I thought he threw up the bullets.
Oh, he so. Might have done that already too. Somebody oh, shot him. Too. Somebody unloaded
there's
a mag.
Lot of stupid shit.
Somebody
going
unloaded
on
a mag of an Uzi in his mouth, and then he just pukes molten bullets back up on them.
Can he do that?
I don't know.
I don't know if he can do that.
I know he can do some of the stuff. Guess like he some can. Of the other parts, I'm like, okay. I think it just depends who's writing him to. So anyway, he makes the giant hellfire excavator, and then it's just like Michael Bay style blablosions from there. It's just flame everywhere, him trashing everything, and it's a cool effect. But it's like a lot too. Yeah. It's cool, but also I think kind of
I
like
think it
overdone.
Goes on.
Yeah,
yeah,
it goes on goes way on. Too long. But also, so Kerrigan goes to shoot Nadia and then and Danny, but the Ghost Rider stops him. They run away, but then Ghost Rider manages to track them down. He corners Nadia, who's trying to get Ghost Rider away from Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And is getting ready to eat her soul. And Danny gets all echoey voiced and commands him to let her go.
Right.
So he starts walking towards Danny and he just like slowly turns into Johnny Blaze and then goes, "So that happened," was the line. I was like, why? Why would you put that in there? Like, it's just all these like weird little lines where I'm
that,
like
I felt that Nicolas Cage tried to improv some of the lines.
Yeah, probably. Well, but like, I don't put that past. I just don't put it past the writer director really? Pair, because I mean
some of these lines I was like,
I feel like that's some of their work too. I don't know, but I don't think they. Let me put it this way: even if they don't like, write it in, and he said those things, I think they were like,
okay.
"Ha ha, yeah."
Okay, here's what I want the listeners to do: go back, listen to episode 8. All the stupid puns I did are way better than the stupid puns they did in this movie. Am I right?
Yeah.
They weren't even puns.
That wasn't even a pun.
They weren't even puns. They were just not even jokes.
So that happened was not a pun.
Well,
it was just
you know
like
what I mean.
Interjections.
There's puns later on.
Oh yeah. So we got to Danny in a diner, just kind of watching this other family, and Johnny notices and decides he's going to have this weird heart-to-heart with the kid, to make him cheer him up. So we find out his ankle has already healed, which, you know, Nick Cage makes sure to point out is weird.
Yeah.
Of course, coming from the guy who starts on fire.
And then who's Nicolas Cage?
Yeah,
Coppola.
So then, while we're doing this, Johnny starts like chugging a pitcher of water, which I think is just in reference to that he's you know been on
fire.
I feel
like that was
his
stage direction. I don't even feel like that was in the script. I feel like he was just like they're like now pick up that pitcher of water and drink it. Ha ha, it's funny.
Yeah, probably
because you have fire everywhere yeah. on you most of the time.
Yeah,
so you
got to
be hot all the time.
I'm sure. And it, like, honestly, like, it's kind of okay and kind of not. It just was kind of...
It's just there.
Yeah. But they almost, like, focused on it too much.
Yeah, too much.
It would have been funny just in once. And of itself, but, like, yeah, but they really laid yeah. into it.
Check it out.
So, now we cut back to Kerrigan, who's, like, dying under a slab of rock, and his hair is kind of blonde, which I don't get, but he's dying under the slab of rock.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. But Rourke shows up and basically says, oh, you are not done yet. I still want you to go get Danny. And he's like, sorry, asshole, I'm dead. And they kind of subtitle it because he's whispering so softly.
Yeah.
So Rourke transforms him into this, like, albino Sandra Bernhard-looking character. And
well, since I call them Bon Bon Jovi, he's like frozen Bon Bon Jovi now.
Yeah, that's
like he looks very like you're like cold.
Yeah,
like
he's
very
like some
gray.
He's like some Game of Thrones White Walker.
Yeah, sure.
Bon
What's
bon
a White Walker?
Bon Bon Jovi.
I do not watch Game of Thrones.
I know you
either.
Don't.
Do
that's
not
for,
kill
it's
me,
for our
folks.
Listeners. It's for our listeners.
Okay. What's a White Walker?
The
that sounds racist, by the way.
What?
A White Walker.
It's those people, like the old people at the malls, or
no? Oh,
the,
okay.
So anyway, but he, so apparently now he has power, so anything he touches he, will decay, and he can envelop people in darkness, so those are his powers
and
now.
And he can eat Twinkies.
Right. And yeah. Yeah, there's this whole scene later about him, like, trying to eat. It's such an, even a scene that does not need to be in the movie. So he's, like, just driving... And he picks up a sandwich, which disintegrates, and then he picks up an apple, which rots while he's holding it, and he goes, that's weird. And then he picks up a Twinkie.
It's weird. He gave you decaying powers. He even told you.
Yeah, right?
It's not weird.
Yeah. That's
which
your
power.
Which work sometimes constantly and sometimes not at all, apparently.
Whatever.
But anyway, he goes, so then he pulls out a Twinkie, and it doesn't disintegrate, and then he eats it. And it doesn't disintegrate because Twinkies last forever. The joke Twinkies last forever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Not the new recipe.
So, anyway, but Danny and Johnny, so they are driving. So they have that same flatbed bed truck with Johnny's motorcycle on it.
Yeah.
But now. Johnny and Danny are both riding on the bed of the truck.
Well, you know.
With no sides on it or anything. It's a very safe place
Look,
to be.
Look, he's the son of the devil. He can do what he wants. No,
he'll be fine, I'm sure.
He'll be fine.
But, like, and kudos, though, to Nick Cage, he was really doing it, because he was just, like, standing on the back of it while they were driving full speed. That would have made me nervous as hell. But I was like, oh, my God, that kudos to him for that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Then they're talking.
Sure, Academy Award. Second Academy Award for standing on top of a...
Hey,
award.
I didn't say he was going to win an award for it. I just said I couldn't do it. If you ever see me on a movie on the back of the truck, and I look like I'm desperately trying to, like, squat down or, like, hold on to something, you know that's what they're like, Jeremy, stop. Jeremy,
how did
stop.
Nicolas Cage do it?
I will scream that and cry it in the middle of my scene. How does Nick Cage do this? Anyway.
So he asks some questions about him being Ghost Rider.
So he's talking. He's like, what does it feel like? You know,
and
you
he
know,
means sex,
it,
right?
Does it feel good?
No.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Does it feel good when you are? Well, maybe it does. No. But no. You know, does it feel good when this happens? And he kind of talks about how he feels when he's a Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what happens when you have to pee? And he was like, well... Have you ever seen a flamethrower? And then you like see the shot of the Ghost Rider pissing flames?
Yeah, so the Ghost Rider gets gonorrhea when he goes to the bathroom. Which, you know, then I thought, well, can he do other fluids as well? Like, I don't know why I was thinking this. I was like, okay, so the Ghost Rider's probably not going to go pee on something. He's busy being the Ghost Rider.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not going to go have sex with someone. That's another, you know, fluid.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's the, what? This doesn't. This is just in the movie, and it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and then he kind of does this like thumbs up thing, which I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
And then Danny kind of gets bummed because he learns that he knows that Johnny's trying to get rid of his powers or get rid of the Ghost Rider, lift that curse. And Danny gets bummed because he can never get rid of his curse, which is that he's the devil's son.
And
so,
we can't get rid of the movie.
So Johnny's like, I know what I'll do. I'll make up for it. by endangering your life on a bunch of motorcycle stunts. So now they're doing like a bunch of motorcycle tricks where he's like, just sit on my handlebars and sit perfectly still while I'm...
Should you be doing that with the son of the devil?
Yeah. Especially the kid that you have to keep alive so that you can, you know, get your powers taken away. Anyway.
Johnny Blaze.
So they're doing a bunch of stuff. But at least they show that because, you know he's a motorcycle stunt guy, so it fits with the character.
Yeah, right. Sure. It's Johnny and not Ghost Rider. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is it's fine. It's like probably the most... To me, it's probably one of the more kind of like accurate, the pieces where I felt like, yeah, this is right. Like, this is a good characterization for Johnny, was him being kind of a stuntman person or being like, yeah, I feel at home on a bike.
Yeah, I'll give you it.
So, where are we at?
They meet Idris Elba.
Yeah, so Idris Elba kind of shows up again and like pulls up alongside of them, and he's, you know, like, "Hey Nadia, you bitch, you tried to
shoot me.
Thanks
for not shooting me."
Yeah, he's like, "You done shooting at me?" And so they're all like, "Ha ha ha, we're all friends now."
Right.
So he escorts them to this new sect of monks.
Right, the monks of the Enigma. Right, because the Enigma guy that always has the face tattoos. That's all I was thinking.
Yeah, right. And basically, like, they have like scripture tattooed all over their face.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought it was question marks. I thought they were teaching me how to save money.
No. That one. That one's next. So they bring Danny here. They say, hey, look, they'll be able to protect him because they're like warrior monks.
Yeah.
Led by the tattooed Christopher Lambert.
There's only one Christopher Lambert.
Well, there can be only one.
There can only be one.
And so they... So they leave him with them. They take Danny and Nadia away. Johnny and Moreau explore the monastery.
Well, he owes him something because he said he could take away.
Yeah, now that you got him here. Yeah. So now we got to go to the next step. Yeah. So Moreau grabs this 50,000 euro bottle of wine and just starts chugging it like nobody's business.
Sure.
And then as he's doing that, we get to Expository Dialogue Theater, Volume 3.
Or as I like to call, Stringer Bell's Show of Picture Pages.
And Idris Elba would be great with a reboot of Picture Pages.
Why not? Do it.
I think, look, violent action movies in the evening.
What are you doing, Thor 3 now, Idris? Come on.
Children shows in the morning.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect. I would love it.
Perfect.
I bet Idris Elba would be good.
Yeah.
At doing children's shows. I bet he would be.
But he has to do it as Stringer Bell.
That perfect.
Why not?
When the kids act up, he gets real intense with them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Shoots them.
Perfect.
Why not?
Perfect.
Okay,
Nobody would do that. Nobody would complain. So basically he talks about, so once upon a time, there was the Angel of Justice who was captured by the forces of hell. And the angels of justice... it was captured, tortured, and corrupted to become the spirit of vengeance. And that the part of the angel might still actually be in there.
Oh, like there might be some good in you yet.
There might be.
Then he grabs another bottle of wine.
At this point, he gets this.
At this point, I say, they have a sideways wine tasting journey through the story of vengeance with Elba as Thomas Hayden Church and Nicolas Cage as Paul Giamatti's liver. Which is pretty accurate.
It's all very accurate. That's very accurate.
I just painted a picture for you. Go with that. Now we're moving on.
So, yeah, he steals like this. He's like, I've had my eye on this. This bottle of wine is 2,000 years old. And then he's like, I'm just going to take this. That's cool.
Yeah.
So then he takes it. And so he tells Johnny that in order to go through this next step of like lifting the curse, he has to confess something about the one thing that he has the most difficulty confessing. And so Johnny again talks about...
That he should have never won the Academy Award for leaving Las Vegas.
It's exactly right. And they were like, no, not you, Nick. Back in character. And so he talks about his dad again. And so Moreau gives him like this bread, basically a communion bread. or like breaks it and says, "Hey, this is the body."
Yeah.
Gives it to him, and so he feels better having confessed, and he's ready to face the next part of this. So he heads into this room by himself, basically to face the spirit of vengeance and be cured. And there's like this whole scene where it's like a white room. First, he has a Nick Cage freak out. Yes, and then it's a white room where the spirit of vengeance is all in black. Ghost Rider's all in black.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pukes up chains.
Huh. It's a chain reaction. That's what I thought.
The puns. And so then he basically he wakes up on the floor and he's a new man.
Yeah.
And he
starts
feels
screaming
free.
His name. Hey, I'm free.
Yeah, he feels free of the the Ghost Rider, so he's excited.
Starts
so
running to find.
Yeah, he goes to find Moreau, and he can't find anybody at that point. But then he hears people kind of distantly, and he runs over there, finds out the monks are planning to kill Danny.
Right. So I call him Tony Shalhoub and the Monks. And actually, that's another good band name, Tony Shalhoub
and the Monks.
Yeah, my new wave band, Tony. Hey, we're Tony Shalhoub and the Monks.
So they're getting ready to kill Danny. So Johnny, Moreau, and Nadia, they're all holding them back, and they basically say that, look, you want to stop him from getting to this, to this ritual, but the only way to really stop him is to kill him before that.
Right.
And so they take them away. And while that's happening, while they've been taken away somewhere else, and they're getting ready to kill Danny, all of a sudden darkness envelops all of them. So obviously Kerrigan is there.
Right.
And we see him going through them.
Not Nancy Kerrigan.
No. Because she would have gone straight for the knees. he just goes straight for the jugular. So he starts taking them out one by one. And eventually, it looks like just kind of almost like a garden of mummified monks, like ancient mummified monks where you see like frozen in Tibet and things like that.
Remember I said he sounds like Christian Slater now?
He does. Like all of a sudden he starts sounding like Christian Slater. Yeah. Greetings and salutations.
Hey, Tony Shalhoub and the Monks. How's it going?
So,
Can I put when Nicolas Cage, can I go back for a second?
Yeah.
When Nicolas Cage comes out, I noticed, and they did a close-up, and all of a sudden I was like, what is thinner, this plot or Nicolas Cage's hairline? I just wanted to say that. Anyway, go ahead.
I think it's the plot. But so it comes back, and we cut to all of a sudden all the mummified monks, and plants are already growing on them, and like mushrooms are sprouting, and you know, like I think they're supposed to be like the innocent kind of things where they're...
No.
You know, the spiritual power is still there.
Butterflies.
Yeah. And so Johnny, Moreau, and Nadia find the monks. Moreau explains that Rourke is going to use Danny as his new vessel. Mm-hmm. So his body's burning out and he needs to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny says, well, hey, look, I'm a free man now and I want to live my life as a free man. But I made a promise to that kid, so I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in with them to get him back, even though he doesn't have his powers.
Well, good for Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, it's a true hero, you know, like he still is going after him. So, which I think is part of the characterization. He's doing the right thing.
Is that kind of, you know, his character, Johnny? Was?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny's a hero. He's kind of an anti-hero in a way, but like Johnny himself, mm-hmm. I think, is much more heroic than... And the Ghost Rider alter ego is the anti-hero piece of it.
Yeah.
So he's going to go whether he's got the demon in him or not. So they visit the armory that this place has because they're warrior monks. They have tons of this arsenal, and they're going to gear up and go.
Right.
So in the meantime, Danny meets Rourke. So Danny, of course... being the blunt kid he is, asks what's wrong with his face. And he tells him his current vessel is burning up. He says, it's like, imagine a flamethrower. And so we get a second shot of the Ghost Rider peeing flames again, which is great. They just want to keep using it.
This is a heart-to-heart with
the
father and son.
Yeah, you know.
I actually put Cats in the Cradle and the Flaming Spoon.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect. And so he says his current vessel is burning up. It's not meant to do the things that it does, mm-hmm. so it's burning out fast. So Danny is a perfect vessel since he's only part human and he's like basically made for this. So he's going to take over Danny, which Danny doesn't really want, but right. you know. So then we see our three heroes are standing outside and they're scoping out this party. Basically,
what country are we in?
God, I don't know. Georgia?
Are we in Georgia? Because the devil went down to Georgia. yes.
Woo. I did write at one point, because I was like, I wrote, what country are they in? And then when they go by the ambulance, it says Ambulanta on it. Mm-hmm. And I go, Ambulanta, Georgia? Are they in Georgia? And so I was like, Yeah. So anyway, they see this party. Now, it's full of politicians and business people, you know, your standard Illuminati crowd, who are going to this party to worship the devil who's given them all this power and to honor them as they honor him as he basically transitions into his new vessel. So Nadia has this big-ass sniper rifle that is cool, and they show this, like, kind of thermal... infrared like imaging of her like sniping people, and then she sees Johnny and Moreau going in, just knocking a couple guys out and then running in. So while they're inside, they start cracking into the 2,000 year old wine, and you see Moreau takes a big drink of it and he goes, huh, not bad, and gives it to Johnny to drink some, and he goes, might be good on a salad. I was like, what the... Okay.
I feel like Nicolas Cage ad-libbed that.
Yeah.
Like, he's the worst ad-libber ever.
Yeah. Although, I thought that was kind of funny.
I didn't.
I did.
I didn't.
I did.
I didn't.
I did.
Wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
Right. Anyway. Moreau is going to start a ruckus, basically, while Johnny gets the boy and runs. So, he's creating the distraction. So he comes in there and starts just shooting people and, like, killing guards and whatever. Interrupts the ceremony where they're kind of transferring everything.
He's pretty badass. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it was.
For not having powers.
And he's yelling stuff at him in French, drinking some wine, doing whatever. Mm-hmm. Except then Kerrigan sneaks up on him, darkens everything out, and then kills Moreau.
Yeah.
Which, but still, he goes out being a badass. He's like, I can still see the light.
Yeah.
Even though I'm in the darkness, I can still see the light.
Yeah.
And as he's, like, disintegrating, he headbutts Kerrigan.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. And, of course, then he's all... Kerrigan's, like, spitting out, like, the dust that he became. And he's like, oh, it's so gross. Kerrigan starts hurting Johnny then. So they capture Johnny. Oh, Danny. Well, he's possessed. He's basically holding Johnny at bay.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerrigan grabs Johnny, starts kind of hurting him and like almost like decaying little bits of him, but not really killing him full way.
Right.
And Danny walks up to him and Johnny's like, hey man, don't do this. Mm-hmm. And Danny turns to the devil and is like, hey dad, so you say I have all the same powers you do, right? And he's like, yeah. So Danny then, he's going to free Johnny. So he jumps up on him and pukes fire in his mouth.
Do you think that day that kid had garlic bread, like on the craft service table?
Probably.
Because that would have been terrible.
Yeah, it would have been terrible. Oh, what is that, an aftertaste of that?
Oh.
So he's just puking into Johnny's mouth, basically starting up the spirit of vengeance again.
Right.
Basically getting him going. So
it was okay.
So the next shot, and I thought this was cool, because he just turned back into him. He takes his chain and just does like one, does this like a couple circles with the chain, and just like wipes out the whole crowd of worshippers.
Yeah,
of devil worshippers.
I thought that was cool. Kind of.
Yeah, it was a cool shot. I loved that. Just with like a couple circles of his chain. Rourke flees with Danny in tow, but Ghost Rider starts following him. So he's on his motorcycle. He jumps on a truck, like one of the trucks that's following them, and turns it into some sort of like hellfire truck, which another time that he changes it into something. So it's right. it was I like that they're trying things with that. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, could you have done something cooler? Or
yeah.
This is a little bit different. But it's, you know, I like what they're trying to do with it.
Okay, I'll give you that, yeah.
So Nadia is also in pursuit, like, in her Land Rover. And somehow Kerrigan just, like, leaps onto the hood of her car from where, I don't know. But, like, he's just, like, on the hood of her car now. And he's, like, cracking the glass to get after her. Ghost Rider sees her in trouble, whips him with the chain and like pulls him back to the truck that he's on, and they fight over there. Then they fly back and basically fight on the hood of Nadia's Range Rover. And I mean, they're doing some kind of cool like wrestling moves like on the hood of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it's a decent fight scene. Kerrigan ends up, he looks to have the upper hand when all of a sudden Ghost Rider does that soul-sucking slash hissing in his face thing again. And he basically takes Kerrigan, throws him off the front. Kerrigan gets run over by the car and then just instantly rots on the road, and Ghost Rider whispers, "Roadkill."
Right, like I was like, when did Ghost Rider start doing zingers?
Zingba.
I was like, zing! What the? Like, it would be different if he was doing that throughout the whole movie.
I wish he would have done like, he would have done the zinger and then he'd do like a arm pump a couple times to show you that he meant business.
But like, all of a sudden boom. He did one and I'm like, oh, okay.
He said the same thing that Kerrigan said to him once earlier. He's had a few zingers in there.
No. This was like the first zinger I had.
No, he did three.
Look, he had a zinger and Kerrigan had a Twinkie. That's it.
He just eats a zinger.
Raspberry. Damn it. That was decayed.
So finally, he manages to stop Rourke's car. He, like, whips the undercarriage of it and flips it over. Ghost Rider, it's cool. Like, Ghost Rider, I do like this effect, too. He whips the chains around Rourke, like, flings him up into the air with the chains, and then slams him into the ground. That would be a cool move. Except when he does it, he basically, like, slams him all the way to hell. That's what I thought was cheesy. But him,
he
just
shoots him up like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloon.
Yeah. But him just whipping him into the air and back down, that's totally comic book where he slams him into the ground.
Okay, but like he went all the way down.
Yeah, but all the way back to hell thing was weird.
He's like, go back home.
Yeah, that was dumb for me.
Zing.
Zing.
Twinking.
And arm pumps again.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
God, I want some zingers.
We see Danny is dead. And so Ghost Rider's kind of like, huh, and pulls him from the wreckage. Of course, Nadia is crying. And so he turns back to Johnny Blaze and says, you know, he said the spirit used to be an angel. I can feel some of that power. And so now his hand is a skeleton hand again, but it's blue. Blue fire.
Yes.
And he touches the kid on the chest and brings him back to life.
Yeah.
And he goes,
It's okay. I'm doing it too.
So he comes back to life and Danny goes, did we win? And Nicolas Cage goes, I'm going to say yes. And then there's this weird
pause.
Zoom in. Yeah, pause. Zoom in with a Dutch angle, like real close. And he goes, hell yes.
Credits.
And then it just cuts.
And it goes to credits.
And then Ghost Rider drives by in blue flames. And he goes, My name is Johnny Blaze. I'm the Ghost Rider. Abrupt end.
Yeah, that's it.
There's like, it's like, what, was something else happening? What's happening?
The worst, like,
it was so abrupt that it was like, wait, what's going on?
It's kind of an abrupt ending. It just happens. It's just, there it is. Boom.
And so I guess now he's the spirit of justice. It's because he's all blue.
Not David Justice, but the spirit of justice. Okay, so you've been deuced.
Yes, so we've all been deuced.
Spirit
a vengeance, you've been deuced. So that's what we thought of the movie. Let's see what other people have thought of the movie. Here is Mark Burton. He gave it 8 out of 10, and he said, proper Ghost Rider. He says, proper Ghost Rider. Nicolas Cage actually played the part well. Bit loopy when needed. Psycho Daddy for the rest of the time. Psycho Daddy, really?
Psycho sword, Daddy?
Sort of
what a weird thing.
What a weird thing to call Nicolas Cage.
What a weird
thing.
Hey, Psycho Daddy.
Hey, Psycho Daddy. I really like the fact that the film has tried to be more like a graphic novel and less like the original film. Moral, immoral, and fun. The CGI style is perfect for boy, angel, demon with a flaming skull riding on the motorcycle. I have honestly never seen flames, the whole burning monster thing, and things done so well. Please just switch off Hollywood review mode. I don't know what that means. Ignore the first film's existence and enjoy.
I will not ignore the first
like,
movies.
What are you even talking about?
No, okay. I...
What are you talking about there, Psycho Daddy?
Oh, Psycho Daddy.
Maybe his name should be Psycho Daddy.
I think... The reality is it needs to be somewhere between this movie and the first one. Like, this is, like, the first one was too subdued, and this one is, like, too, like, over-the-top crazy.
Okay.
I do give him that point, though, where he said it's, like, very much like a graphic novel. I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Marvel Knight, if you have, like darker characters, like Kerrigan, you know, is somebody I'd expect to see in that kind of a thing, where he's, you know, has this gorier kind of power.
So, Shopaholic 35... gave it a 1 out of 10. Said another nail in the coffin of Nicolas Cage's career. I'm so saddened by the fact that Nicolas Cage cannot pick a good script to save his life. Gone are the days when we had a respected actor and he was highly in demand. I thought this movie might be bearable because the first one wasn't too bad, but boy, I was wrong. It was absolutely terrible. I was forced to give it a 1. I never rate things a 1. Because he is so much better than this, and it broke my heart to see him sink so low. By the end of the movie, I still really didn't know what the movie was about. It's like listening to a politician's speech who dances around the issue so much, avoiding answering anything, that by the end, you have no idea what's actually being said. And then in parentheses, she says, note, I don't think all politicians are boring, just a select few. Every country has at least one who never seems to answer anything yet talks endlessly. Look, I'm sorry, Shopaholic 35, don't put that in there.
Well, I think you're boring, Shopaholic 35.
I will continue to remain hopeful throughout Nicolas Cage's former glory. You'll never know. Stranger things have happened. Yes, like you wrote this review, Shopaholic 35.
Well, okay, so she's approaching it. So, but she's approaching it from a Nicolas Cage perspective.
Yes, she is.
So let me phrase it this way. This is not the weirdest thing Nicolas fucking Cage has done. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know why she's alarmed by this
hoity-toity about. But I love The Weatherman. Like, that's why I just feel
Wait,
like her.
Did you like The Weatherman?
No.
Okay.
No, I hated that movie.
Okay.
But I feel like she's like, but why can't he do, like, The Weatherman again? Or things like that. Family Man or whatever it was called.
Was it The Family Man or Weatherman?
There's
both. Matchstick Men.
And Matchstick Men. Yeah. I liked Matchstick Men.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah. But I think that, like, she's approaching it from a different perspective.
I think
she's more power
too.
To her. But I think
I think it's important to take that view too. Maybe we should talk about that too.
But instead of saying, you know, oh hey, here's a movie, she's basically poo-pooing on it because it's a comic book movie.
No, I think she's poo-pooing on it because it's a movie that Nicolas Cage was in that she didn't like. I think she's ranking Nicolas Cage movies. Don't you think? I don't think she's.
I think because she couldn't be. She wouldn't get into the comic aspect of it. That she's like, it's stupid. Whatever this is stupid.
I think she's just bitching because she can no longer buy Z Cabarichis because she's a shopaholic.
That's.
I'm just saying.
Is my Z Cabarichi outlet. But no, I think she's. I think she. But I do. I think like she even said in there, I don't know what's going on.
Oh yeah, okay, I get you. I get you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first one was so milquetoast, and that's perfect because I'm milquetoast. I'm Shopaholic 35.
I don't think this movie deserves a one. I think it deserves a low rating, but doesn't deserve a one.
No, that's ridiculous.
No.
Okay, so that's what they thought. So yeah. Let's talk about what we thought with this. So. What did you think the best part of the movie was?
Oh, these are our five questions.
Yeah, five questions.
Idris Elba was my favorite part. I really like him in the movie. I think, the first part of the movie, he's not really in it that much. And then when he is, he brings a sort of, like, he becomes almost manic himself, too. His character becomes a little wild card himself, too. But I think he plays it better than Nicolas Cage plays it. And I feel like that's how Nicolas Cage should have kind of played Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Kind of okay. In a way.
So, and again, just to interject because I almost forgot, you know, we talked about how Chris Evans, he's been Captain America.
Right.
He's Human
Marvel,
Torch.
Two Marvel movies and a DC for Idris Elba.
Losers, yeah. And Idris Elba, same thing. Two Marvel movies and a DC movie.
Yeah. That's true.
Yep.
You're in good company with Chris Evans.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And
you were great on The Shield.
And picture pages.
What did you think the best part is?
So
that scene with the chain thing was pretty cool.
Yeah, I do say Idris Elba is probably one of my two best parts. I liked what they were trying to do with the action. Like I liked that they were trying to kind of amp it up because it was like the first one, the action seemed so subdued.
Okay.
From where I would normally expect it to be. Like, it was very much... It was not as fast-paced as I would have liked it to be. This was, to me, was much more what I would expect.
Yeah.
Or what I would hope to see. Like, it was faster-paced, but also at the same time, it was almost, like, too much coming at you to where it was
Idris Elba had a scene where, like, all of a sudden I was like, why aren't you Bond? Why aren't you James Bond?
Yeah.
Because you're kind of charming, but then you can kind of shoot your way through things.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Idris Elba was probably one of my favorite parts. Yeah. I do like that they did like the Hellfire excavator, Hellfire truck. Give us a little like, show us some things. Like we should be able to see some of this. I don't think they did it as good as they could have.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed what they were trying to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I understood what they were trying to do, and I think if it was better executed, I would have loved this so much, but I think it missed the mark a little bit for me. But I loved it, what they were trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Oh, I'm done with it.
Cancel it?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, see,
Cartoon. Cartoon.
Cartoon?
Yeah, reboot it as a cartoon.
No, I disagree with that.
Yeah, because all those cartoons were wonderful. I'm not into Ghost Rider. And so this is just a personal opinion of mine.
Yeah.
I don't really like, I'm not a big Punisher fan. I'm not a big, like all these vengeance kind of like characters, they don't appeal to me, but I get why they appeal to people.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to be subjective on this one.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, are we going to say continue to go forward with Nicolas Cage? I say no.
No.
No. In fact, do it with someone else. I always say, what's his face from Supernatural? Jensen Ackles. Make him, you know, an action star. I don't know. Make him Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're going to reboot it with someone younger.
I get behind
kind
that.
Of reboot it in a way that would be.
Well, they did introduce the newest Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And so he actually, the newer Ghost Rider that they have in the comics actually drives a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty cool. And so they had that on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Which was, it was pretty cool seeing him on there. And I think they were getting into the character, but it was like really slow how they were getting into it. And so I actually thought reboot, I would like to see it in like a new incarnation.
Right. I could see it. I would actually go see it if you had the right actor.
I put in parentheses, but keep Nick Cage away. And then a second set of parentheses, and these directors. And another set of parentheses, and maybe Netflix. So, like, I almost, like, keep it away from all those things. Like, I almost want it to either be...
Yeah, don't... No,
I don't Netflix. Really want it to be a show.
I think Netflix would be boring. They have a tendency to, like, take
draw
their Marvel
out,
stuff...
Draw it out too much.
Draw it out for, yeah. like, 10 episodes or whatever they do.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Mm. Like, I... Just keep it to a movie... But you can do it in the 2 hours yeah. and make it an interesting movie.
Yeah.
I would like to see it rebooted with somebody else who understands there's more than like just low and high settings. Like there's settings in between.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to just whisper and go straight into screams. So,
yes. Here's looking at you, Scott Speedman, whisperer from Felicity.
Ghost Rider Felicity.
I'm Ghost Rider Felicity. Ghost Rider Spirit of Whispering. okay, do you think this movie stands on its own?
You go first.
So I said yes.
Okay.
Because it is borderline reboot anyway.
Okay.
So they had, when they went to go do this one, Ava Mendez wouldn't come on. They lost Ava Mendez. They changed the setting. Really, the only thing that's the same... even the devil is a different person. The only person who is the same is Nick Cage.
Oh, okay.
And he acts so differently from the first one that when we first saw this, I remember I went, is this a different series and it's just the same actor? Am I confused by that? I mean, but it's a continuation. But it's almost just borderline where
if
it was
you're
like
gonna
a
say
reboot.
It like that, then yeah, it does stand on its own. The plot itself does not stand on its own.
Well, I just don't
think
the plot stands
I
that
the
well
plot
in general.
Is not good.
Right. But they
There's
have
holes.
Their
yeah.
they have exposition and not like in a I think the exposition is not just a I will say the exposition is better than we've seen like in some movies where
yeah.
it's like, here's what the people have been doing since the last movie.
Yeah.
And just reiterate what's happened. This was actually more of a let me tell you a story and give
yeah,
you like an
sure.
aside, which I think worked okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it, I do think it stands on its own. And you said no.
I see. On that aspect, it does. On the plot itself, it doesn't.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Which, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're going to compare it, like you said, yeah, probably does. I don't know. I've never seen the first one.
Yeah.
So I can't really, you know what I mean? It's hard for
yeah.
me to do that. Sometimes it's easier for me to say this stands on its own because the sequel is so different than the original.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there is aspects that do probably stand on its own. The
yeah.
plot is not one of them.
But it goes back
and
tells you Johnny Blaze's story, even.
Yeah.
Which is good.
That
like
helps me.
The devil
yeah.
piece of it
yeah.
and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It basically tees it up. Okay. What does this make you want to watch the first one?
No.
No?
No.
It makes me want to watch it because I don't think I've ever watched, like, Fantastic Four. I've watched the first one and then the second one immediately after, or like X-Men when I'm like, yeah, just throw all like 50 of them in. Let's just watch, you know, or like a Marvel phase. Before we saw Avengers, I watched like all the Marvel phase.
Here's
one
why
things.
I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it because of what you're saying. You're telling me that he's more manic in this. And I actually like, if I'm going to have manic Cage, I want him to be manic.
Yeah.
Because that's fun. Even if the movie is bad, that's fun. This movie is bad, but not fun. It's not bad in a fun way. Like
yeah.
a Nicolas Cage movie should or should not be. Do
yeah.
you know what I mean? So when you're saying he's more subdued in that, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch subdued Cage. I don't know why. In this type of movie, because it's supposed to be a
yeah.
comic book, I want to get kind of more...
He's
you know,
he's subdued, but I think the movie is better put together.
Okay, yeah. No, it's still... Ghost Rider's not a character I really have thought much about.
And see, I would like to watch these. I would almost want to watch them, like, one and two and just see. Because, like, Fantastic Four, the feeling of it is pretty consistent through the two movies. Like, it's, you get the same family
yeah.
aspect and
it,
the same,
it
like, emotional levels. And the X-Men movies are kind of like that, too, and everything. Like, you get, usually, they don't spike too much one over the other.
For the difference.
This one is, like, the first one to
yeah.
the second one, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And so I kind of want to watch those back to back so that I can be like, oh, that is a big change. Or see, you know, maybe I can see something different between those. But I don't think I've ever watched the two of those back to back like I have other
so
movies.
So you're saying the difference of this movie makes you want to watch?
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Not that I'm like, ooh, this fired me up, but I'm intrigued.
If it was on, I'd watch it with you. If you, you know, said, hey, I'm going to watch this, I'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll watch it with you.
I'll
but
dig
I'm not
it out
go.
Real quick.
What's that?
I'll dig it out real quick.
No, but I'm not going to sit there. And I'm not going to go out of my way to watch Ghost Rider. The first, is the first one just Ghost Rider? There's no, like, Spirit of something?
Yeah, it's just Ghost Rider.
Okay. No, I'm not. No.
Okay. So, as far as the two words, go ahead and go. What do you think?
You know how he says, hell yeah, right? Yeah. Like at the end? Hell nah. That's my two words.
Not even hell no?
No. Or hell no.
Hell nah.
Hell nah.
Hell nah.
Hell nah. Look, I didn't like this movie. There's parts of it. There's a lot of it I didn't like. But it wasn't. It's not the worst movie we reviewed in the 9 episodes that we have going on 10. It's not the worst. And it's not going to be the worst movie that
we
do.
Should we say on the count of, let's say on the count of three what that is?
Yeah.
One.
What, that we review or
the
worst
one
sequel
that
we've ever seen? Oh, okay.
Yeah. One, two, three.
Mission Impossible 2 was terrible. The plot, was a little bit better than that. Having said that, there's parts of this movie that I just kind of, they just don't work for me. It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie, but it's border. It's border more to the bad aspect of it. Having said that, it doesn't deserve a one like that one review said.
No,
that's pretty shitty.
That, no.
Don't shit upon this movie as much as you should. I don't think that's fair. I think
person was like, look, I
think
you're
right.
I don't understand the comic beats.
There's parts of this movie that I think you're right. That if you put the good parts of probably that first movie in this movie, you could probably get really good.
Yeah, I agree.
Ghost Rider movie.
Yeah,
probably. I've never seen it, but I'm thinking I trust you because there's chunks of this movie that I'm like, that was good, but it was followed by something that just stunk.
Yeah.
Right after that. And I'm like, ugh.
Yep.
And it's like, I think that's where the heartbreaking part for me is. I'm like, ugh, this could have been a lot better.
Yeah. It was, so my two words were too much.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was,
I say not enough.
I would expect to see, well, I say too much in the way of, like, I expect from one movie to the next, you see a little amp up with things, right? Like, I mean, that happened with Fantastic Four between 1 and 2. You know, you get the first one, which was kind of your basic story.
I think
X-Men
it did
that
in a better way in Fantastic Four.
In Fantastic Four 2, you already have this origin story, so you can just build on those characters and their interactions.
Right.
Same thing happened with X-Men and X-Men 2. And X2, you had your origin story, and then you had, like, the story where you could finally explore, like, the Phoenix and doing all these other things. So you had this, like, kind of slight amp up because you can focus more on the story necessarily without, you know, having to go back to the origin piece of it.
Okay.
So you have the origin piece in the first Ghost Rider movie. And this one, I expected some amp up, but it was, like, way too amped up. Like, it overshot the mark.
Like, and I guess I never saw the first one, so it's like, I kind of like that, and I wanted more of it. But I guess if I saw the first one, I would have gone,
if the first one was
hey,
more like
scratch.
This, if the first one was amped up more, then this would have been an appropriate jump for me.
Okay.
But it's so, like, there's such a big gap to me in between them that it makes it tough to watch. But I think it was too much. And I just want to emphasize, I get what they were trying to do.
Yeah,
and
me
how
too.
They were trying to do it, and I love that. Like, I appreciate that they were trying to bring, like, a lot of, like, those comic aspects to life and really bring them out. And I enjoy that, and I praise them for what they were trying to do.
I agree.
And those movies, like the Crank, or was it the Cranked ones that they did, whichever one it was. Those movies have an audience.
Yeah.
They're not the I don't enjoy those ones. You know, they're not for me. I get what they're doing with that, and I get the audience. So I love that they're doing that with Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But I think they went too far with it. I think they were like, like some of the stuff they were doing in here, I would have been like, okay, yeah, put that in another Crank movie or whatever. Like, tone it down here. Put the crazy stuff over here, you know, because it Focus feels better the over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I appreciate what they were trying to do. Having said that, they didn't do it right.
Yeah. And I feel like they, and the same thing with, for those of you who've seen Jonah Hex, I feel like the same thing happened. They tried to amp up this, like, Jonah Hex should have been a fairly simple story, and they really tried to, like, do too much with it.
Okay.
They are very much too much. And it works for movies like those Cranked and Cranked High Voltage or whatever it is. they it works for them with those. Mm-hmm. That's perfect for that. But I think in here, Ghost Rider, in like a movie like Jonah Hex, and I don't know, did they do like a version of Remains of the Day where it was all, I don't know. It's just like they do too many. No,
it's Merchant Ivory.
They do too many things that are just so amped up.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Hopkins was so amped up.
They're doing their Jane Austen
Remains of the Day and Howard's End.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Once Howard's End came out, whoa.
Yeah.
Hopkins, calm down. You're cranked up.
But no, it's like it works in some venues and some things. I think they just need to be like, okay, our technique for this does not apply to everything. I like, they have a good eye for action. And a good eye for like crazy action, but I think that it just didn't do it justice to this one.
Just
I appreciate what they're trying to do, but I think they needed to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, dial it back a little. Okay. So bottom line is, I say skip this movie, but that's just me.
I say watch it. I say if you're gonna do it, make a Ghost Rider day of it. Do a one and two.
I'll tell you what, this, if you're going to do it, go with it with an open mind.
Yeah.
If you're not going to, just not saying I didn't have an open mind when I was watching this, but if you're not, and if you're just going to watch this movie to make fun of it, skip this movie.
Yeah.
This is not a Nicolas Cage movie that you can easily make fun of. It's not a fun, easy Nicolas Cage movie. It's not like Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So skip that.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it again, but that's just my opinion. I gotta live with that. So,
no, I haven't watched it for a long time.
But you say watch it, so
I say if you're gonna do it, watch them both. But I mean, don't go out of your way.
There we go. That's episode 9. We're actually gonna do a special episode here. We got a lot of questions that came through, so we're gonna do a episode 9.5 or Scrubs 2.0, like 9.0.
Is it 9.0?
Yeah, or
we're doing it before 9, episode
2.0, maybe.
Are we doing it before episode 10?
Yeah, we're going to do a little special episode.
I know when we were gathering and doing those.
Yeah, we're fine. We're going to do that before the 10th episode, just to kind of like honor what we've been doing, kind of talk about us a little bit more. A lot of times we talk about the plot of the movie. We like to talk about the kind of analyzation of movies and stuff like that. A lot of times that gets pushed up the tail end of this podcast, so we got to talk really fast about that. We're going to do a special episode where we actually have some of our listeners gave us some questions. We're going to answer them. We're going to talk about how we feel about sequels, what brought this podcast along, and just the relationship that we have together. So look forward to that before our 10th episode, which is another comic book episode. So,
yep. So 10th episode is Blade 2.
Blade 2. Right?
Blade 2 is coming up. And then we'll have another episode, Hellboy 2, coming up.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, with a special guest.
Another special guest.
Reviewer.
Yay. So, that's awesome. I can't wait for that one.
Yep. So it'll be, so it'll be, Court Feaster from the Cinema PsyOps.
There you go.
Podcast, which if you haven't checked that out, check it out as well. Cinema PsyOps. You can get it on pretty much anywhere. Like you can with ours, like we have at the Deuce Podcast at podbean.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or Stitcher.
Or
you can get us. Or Google Play.
Or
iTunes.
Or anywhere. Anywhere. Yeah.
We have an RSS feed on the Podbean stream. So you
go
can
to your street corner. I'm probably yelling.
Yep, something. Just play it over your head on a boombox.
Just like say anything. Just go ahead and do that. So we're going to leave you, and we're going to play the theme to Ghost Rider. And but before, we're going to say that the deuce is king.
See you. equals king.
Or this, yes, I screwed up. Why? I never screw up. Because I looked at you when I said
me.
That.
Me, vindicated.
The sequel is king. Now here is a little bit of Ghost Rider's theme.
From. He just showed up one night.
What is that thing?
He's not an alien.
What is he?
We think he might be a ghost.
Be serious. He wants to be friends with us.
What? What?
Yeah,
what
this is Ghost Rider.
Wait, what?
Not Ghost Rider.
He can need anything.
Wait, what? Wait. Wait, what happened?
Yeah, no, not Ghost Rider. I thought we went over this once before. We need Ghost Rider.
Sorry, that was like the PBS show, Ghost Rider. I guess we're going to play the Ghost Rider theme song. So, the sequel is king.